God is good. His word is always good. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we've recently... Oh, there it is. We've been together talking about the wisdom of God and the difference and distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. Father, we just thank you this morning that you open our eyes. We thank you that we hear those things which you bring to us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the living God is our teacher and the Holy Spirit is our instructor. And Father, we thank you that as we seek to know you and seek to know the things that you have freely given to us, that Lord God, you are indwelling us by that Holy Spirit. And those things which we could not have known before, which were impossible for us to know and for impossible for us to receive, Lord, you have designed our new spirit to be taught of you and to live with you and to hear your voice and to walk with you and to not be deceived by the wisdom of this world, which seems great and seems so enticing and seems so full of great things. But Father, we thank you that we don't. All it's based on, all that wisdom is based on, is human experience. And human experience is by and large sin. But Father, we thank you that you have come to dwell in us and come to indwell us by your Spirit, and have revealed to us those things which are gifts that are freely given to us through the person and the sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that as we put aside the things of the wisdom of men and embrace the things of the wisdom of God, that our lives on this earth are filled with joy, even though there is trouble. Even though trouble comes and attacks our outward man, our inward man is renewed day by day. And so we thank you that as we come into your presence, and we learn to dwell in your presence, Lord God, those things which have come against us and those things which have come to destroy us, Lord God, they cannot. In fact, what they do is only make us stronger to be able to declare the gospel to someone else. So we thank you that trouble in this world does not trouble us. And we give you all the praise and thanksgiving for showing us daily how to walk in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. One of the most important things about learning how to walk in the Christian life is to have that distinction between the things that come against you on an outward level. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's family, whether it's politics, whatever it might be, because, you know, the enemy just loves to be able to get your goat. Amen. You ever found that out? Amen. He just loves to find out how to get you and just get you by the collar and get you by the leash and just, you know, just slap you around, make you mad, make you upset. Isn't that funny how he does that? I mean, he could just, and your spouse can really point that out really well. You know, you ever notice that? I mean, you know, when you're getting all wound up, they can usually tell. Amen. The next group that can tell is your kids, because you start acting stupid. I'm sorry. Well, the kids are gone. You know, it's because even your kids can recognize it. I've had my kids point out more stuff to me. Esther's the worst. Is she here? Good. She's gone. I mean, she is awful. She is terrible. Melissa, don't say anything. I don't think she... Did you hear what I said? Oh, don't say anything. Did you hear anything before when I said don't say anything? Well, don't say anything. Anyway, so but your kids, I mean, isn't that true? Anybody know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny. Yeah, right. Especially the married ones. Amen. Oh, you got one of those here today. How about that? Yeah. Lindsay, tell us. No, never mind. All right, praise the Lord. Well, see, that's what happens is that you are found out. You are found out, but God is still growing you up. Amen? And so be humble. Be humble. You know, yeah, I'm a jerk. I'm an idiot. You know, but God is growing me up. And, you know, if you'll be happy with that instead of hiding, that really does help out. Amen? So whether you're old or whether you're young, don't hide, but just feel free to say, I'm an idiot. And what that means is I've got flesh. And flesh responds to outward stimulus unless it's been tempered by the Holy Spirit and the living God, which says, I don't have to respond like that. As a believer, you have choices. You really have more choices because you have more power as a believer than does the average, mortal human. Amen? Because do you believe in the supernatural? I mean, the Holy Ghost, the living God, is supernatural. He's above natural, and He actually comes to live on the inside of you and change you. And in one moment, when you see that coming on, when you see that tornado coming, but the tornado isn't coming from the outside, it's, coming from the other side of your brain, the other side of your flesh side, and you can say, no, in Jesus' name, stop, just like Jesus did with the storm. He said, no, peace, be still. Do you know you can say that? Peace, be still. And, the Holy Spirit just bam, and your flesh goes, wait a minute. I've got something to say here. And the spirit of man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, says, no, you don't get to say that anymore. You don't get to say that. We follow the living God. We hear the living God. And see, what's happening then is things don't last as long. Destruction in the family doesn't last as long. Destruction in the church doesn't last as long. The Bible talks specifically about division, and that's part of what we're going to talk about today. And even the beginning, we talked about this about a month or so ago, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He began talking about how, there were contentions and divisions among the church, with respect to Paul and Apollos, and he's going to revisit that here. In fact, in chapter 1 and verse 11, it has been declared to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. I always get accused of moving too fast. By Esther, usually. For it has been declared to me of you, about you, by brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, and here's what's been told to me, every one of you says, I am of Paul. I like Apollos. I like Paul's teaching. Well, I like Apollos' teaching. He's not quite so mean. And I'm of Peter. And the other one says, well, I'm of Jesus. He's going to take the high card. Is Christ, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I didn't baptize any of you, except Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. So he's bringing up the fact that there are divisions. Now, elsewhere in the Scripture it says, where there's envying and strife, and where there's division among you, there's envying and strife and every evil work. So divisions bring about envy, strife, and every evil work. That's what division does. And see, is the house of God divided? Certainly today, the house of God is divided, or the church of God is divided. I mean, you're busy with petty squabbles about how many candles to light. You're really kind of in the wrong. You're kind of in the wrong deal. You're kind of in the wrong business. It's not about candles, and it's not about how many hours a day the doors are open. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's about loving one another, isn't it? It's not about building up and building up your own kingdom, somebody else's kingdom, so that you can be a big shot in somebody's kingdom. We're going to get so-and-so elected so I can be his chief of staff. If you create another kingdom, then, the more kingdoms you create, the more positions of authority you can create under those kings, right? So it's really important to build your own kingdom. It's how you get ahead in life. And it's how you get ahead in the church, right? But no, this is not the church. That's man's wisdom, isn't it? Huh? The church is built, how many know the church is by and large built on man's wisdom? I mean the church like, you know, quote unquote, the building. You know, the building and the structure, the eternal structures of how we run things, and run the churches. I mean there is there's a spiritual department, right? There's a spiritual department in every church, you know, so we kind of figure out how to run it spiritually. But there's a practical reality side. You know, and that's why we have 501c3 corporations, and that's why we have all of these things. You know, we're going to learn how to operate where? In this world. We learn how to operate in this world. Now, the world loves to try to get you to take those things on, and it likes to get you to take those, here, try this one on. This is a nice suit. Try this on. I think we can get it to fit you, you know, like, you know, and all of a sudden it doesn't quite fit you, but it sure is tight. You know, and so that's what the world does, is they tie up the church and they pull it tight and make sure that you cannot do anything but try to get out of the straitjacket. And that's what, by and large, all churches are doing, is trying to get out of the straitjacket that is this world. You've heard us talk about it before, is that, you know, the churches that follow and go for incorporation for protection, The laws of incorporation are written by whom? They're written by the state. You apply to the state for a state charter, and the laws that apply to the state charter are the laws written by the state. So therefore, you have now put the church in a straitjacket under the state. Now today they may not tighten it up. Today they might not, you know, have your hands tied around you and pulled tight. But yeah, just as easily tomorrow they can. They can just make a decision and say, okay, we're going to tie you up today. Just sit right down here and we'll just tie. Well, otherwise we'll take away your benefits. Ah, what? Benefits. Oh, good. You know, they've got benefits on you. So now you have to decide whether or not you want to get rid of the benefits. Whether or not you can weigh now the gospel versus, you know, the benefits of your incorporation. So you have somebody else to listen to. You have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and then you have the state who's got a jacket around you, a straight jacket around you, and got bondage around you. So you have all of those things. And people get into strife over those things. People get into division over those things as to whether or not to follow in with those opportunities to be under the state. Well, we should obey the laws of the state, you know. And it applies to you. Listen, it applies to you as an individual. It does not apply to the church. Those commands apply to you as a person, as an individual living in this society. It does not apply to the church as a body. In fact, the church actually has invited that in and allowed that. You know, they took that benefit. Nobody pressed it on. So this is where divisions come. Divisions and what they do, what I'm saying, is that the church divided becomes squabbling among themselves rather than ministering the gospel. And not only just church to church, but individuals within the church. Individuals within the church become bound up by all of these divisions. And here, for instance, you know, again, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, when he began talking that, I'm hearing this about you, that you guys are kind of, you're building your own kingdoms, you're choosing winners and losers, you're choosing your chief rabbis and your chief teachers. You know, I'm of, you know, Billy Graham, and I'm of, you know, Paul Crouch or Pat Robertson or Pastor so-and-so, you know, all of these people, you're choosing leaders that do that. Now, if you look over at, we've talked about in chapter 2, that the wisdom of God given to you, is coming from the Holy Spirit. And it's wisdom that cannot be understood by natural man, but it's wisdom that has to be understood by the Spirit of God dwelling and living on the inside of you. And that wisdom is going to be cultivated by the Word of God and by fellowship. It's not going to be cultivated by, you know, forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but by gathering yourselves together and building up and encouraging one another to follow the Lord, to hear the Lord personally, to hear the Lord individually. Hearing the Lord individually is how your wisdom grows. It's not by coming on Sunday morning. Even though it says don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, that's not where you get the wisdom of God. You get a teaser. You get an encouragement to know the Lord. And we encourage one another to know the Lord, but Sunday morning is not the place you're going to get it. You're going to get it between you and the Holy Spirit. Our job is to teach you that the Holy Spirit is your teacher and that the Word of God is filled with the living Holy Spirit, and it will teach you that how to hear God. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to hear God, but you have to know Him. You have to personally get in the presence of God to know Him. The verse in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. A lot of people stop there. Well, it's spooky. It's a mystery. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. What's He revealed to us? The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, I want the deep things of God. Well, get together and get alone with the Holy Spirit. Don't get weird. Just get alone with the Holy Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? So you're the only one really knows what's going on in here. Your husband, your wife, your kids, they don't know what's going on in the inside of your little mind, your little pea brain, your little emotions, they don't know. No man knows except the spirit of the man that's in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in the same way. The Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now we've taken another step. We have received, not only do we have the spirit of, have our own spirit, but we have received the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that God listens to, the same Spirit that God hears and knows Him Himself, that same Spirit has come to dwell on the inside of you. Say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that great? And to remember that and to daily meditate on that, the fact that Jesus Christ and the living God, the living Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells on the inside of me. Because Jesus made provision for that. Jesus made a way. All of my sins were forgiven. And He made that opportunity for me to receive the finished work of Jesus Christ, the finished work, the love of God, the power of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God on the inside of me. And I'm enjoying that. Amen. I'm enjoying that. You know, now whether or not I've got it all, I'm not counting that. I'm not checking on that. Whether or not, because I've got this, the other side that's still fighting against that. But here's what I do know, is I know that that wisdom of God always trumps, always beats the wisdom of my head. It always does. So I'm not afraid, even though it's possible and likely that I mess up, that I don't hear right, and that I don't do right, I'm not scared of what God's going to do to me if I didn't do it right. The one thing I do know is that He lives on the inside of me, and I'm going to daily declare that and daily have an expectation. Father, You're bigger than my brain. You're bigger than my emotions. And how many know your emotions are really a problem? Because you operate out of them. Huh? Don't just look at the girls, guys. You do just as bad. I know I do. You know, I mean, well, I'm going to get upset about that. You know, I think we should have done it the other way. But God is able, as you acknowledge Him, to say, Father, come in and train me. Turn my mind, turn my emotions to not respond to flesh, but to respond to you. And this is not a hard work that you do, okay? It's not a hard, well, I've got to work hard at that. No. That's the deception, is that you've got to work hard at that. But you make an acknowledgement. You make an acknowledgement that God is working on the inside of you and He's transforming you, and you daily hear Him and you begin to respond to Him. And you respond to His truth, His word, His provision. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. For we have, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world. I love that. Not the spirit of the world. We have received not the spirit of the world. Because you want to make a hard distinction and to say, not that. But we have received the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know them. That we might know them. What? Know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. There are things that are freely given to us of God. And He is revealing them to us as we have a necessity to hear them. What things? Whatever thing you may need to know in the moment or in the day. For in the day in that Peter said, you know, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say when you get asked these questions. Because the living God and the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance and to your understanding what to say in the hour that you need it. You know, well, hey, I got to learn this, just to be able to pass the test. No, you actually have to have to learn to follow the Lord and hear Him and walk with Him. You remember as those guys came from Emmaus, and the Lord just came and began to walk with them, and they were just getting upset because everything had gone haywire, everything had gone wrong. You know, everything that they thought was supposed to happen didn't happen the way it was happening. It didn't happen the way it should have in their understanding. You know, had the principalities and the powers of the princes of this world. It may have been. I find it hard to believe that the princes of this world were the people. The princes of this world, basically, it was God's plan to let the devil kill Jesus the whole time, and he didn't get it. He never figured it out. You know. And so all of these things are, you don't know what you're going to say. So God doesn't share everything out loud. He didn't share everything. He shared it in a mystery. And also the same with you every day. He doesn't share everything out loud. He doesn't tell you. How many know God doesn't tell you exactly what He's going to do today? Then you might kind of prepare for it. And I don't think you'd prepare very well. I don't think you'd know what to do if He told you, would you? Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at thinking on my feet. No, you're not. God doesn't want you thinking on your feet. He wants you to hear Him. Amen? He wants you to not be afraid to listen to Him rather than think on your feet. He wants you to be able to hear Him. You know, a lot of us, we want to be able to just think on our feet because we have more confidence in us and our feet than we have in the Holy Spirit or our ability to hear the Holy Spirit. So here's what you want. You want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You want to have a daily walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The other ones, they're just kind of like the servants. But He speaks to you as sons, no longer as servants, but sons, girls. That's cool. So the girls get treated like sons. That's pretty neat. Amen. The girls don't get the leftovers or something like they used to back in the old days. I mean, they get everything. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we've received the Spirit of God, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we don't. So when we speak, when you speak, ask the Holy Spirit what to say. Don't think of it on your own. Don't think of what, you know, let's see. I could kind of put this together in my own words. No, you want to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you to say. Sometimes it may not even, you know, kind of jive with what you were thinking. Which, so those things, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also, verse 13, we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, what would the opposite be? Comparing spiritual things with flesh. You know, one hand you got spiritual, the other hand you got flesh, and you're kind of weighing. Because you have a certain amount of confidence in your flesh, amen? Don't you? Your ability to do one thing or another, especially if you're talented. Now, if you're like me, you don't have that problem. Some of you people have great talent. Some of you people have great ability, you know. And now me, you know, I have no confidence, but my confidence and my no confidence is my downfall, amen? Is that, you know, so I can make an excuse, you know, that, well, I didn't know anything. So I just did what a idiot would do, you know. But still, I'm just doing it out of the flesh. Amen? So I'm exactly the same. We're exactly the same. No matter whether you're talented or not, you know, you're still gonna mess up. Doesn't mean, if I have no talent, doesn't mean I'm going to listen to God. Amen? Just want to get the rest of you people to say, yeah, I'm like you, I have no talent. Yeah, there's no excuse. Okay, so because you're comparing, you're listening to the Holy Spirit comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And what's going to happen there is God is going to get rid of your flesh. God is going to put down the flesh. And that's the hard part, right? Everybody know that's the hard part? How many know that suffering in the flesh is exactly what it sounds like? It's kind of not what it sounds like. Suffering in the flesh is not like putting nails, tearing off your fingernails, you know, in China. Suffering in the flesh, 95% of suffering in the flesh is you telling your flesh no. That's suffering in the flesh. Suffering in the flesh is you aren't in charge, God's in charge. Suffering in the flesh is you don't get to make the decision, God makes the decision. Suffering in the flesh, I'm kind of whittling this down because it's not just like God's, you know, telling you to do something you don't want to do. And, boy, that'd be hard to do that. So I'm suffering in the flesh. No, suffering in the flesh is you don't have this wisdom. Suffering in the flesh is you don't have the capacity to follow God in your flesh, in your human flesh, your human mind. So what you want to say is, God, I want you to take away all my preconceived notions, all the things that I thought were how God should be and how things should have been, and I want you to come in and I want you to take that out, and I want you to put me under you. A lot of time, it's a blessing to you outwardly because it's teaching you that you can't do what God told you to do as hard as you're trying. And you're just wasting a lot of time trying to do what God told you to do rather than just obeying Him simply in the moment. Simply in the moment. Don't make the plan. Don't make these big grandiose, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, every day. Forget every day. Right now. Just right now. Suffering in the flesh is just hear God right now. And just do what He said right now. Because you like to make a big plan as if, you know, like you making a big, big great attempt. But that's not how God operates. He trains you a little bit at a time, day by day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how He trains you. Doesn't mean you don't get in the Word. Doesn't mean you don't spend time in the presence of God. But it's not. But that daily interaction with the Holy Spirit is not to, you know, get you a 4-year degree. That's so you just daily learn to walk with Jesus. Otherwise, you're looking at it for a goal. There is no goal. The goal has already been reached. Huh? I said the goal's already been reached. You're in Christ. And now He's working out all that stuff. Work out your own, you know, as you've always obeyed in My presence, so also, you know, when I'm coming. And He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the working out of your salvation with fear and trembling is you don't get to decide. You're daily not getting to decide. So working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is in you, both to will it. He changes your wanter. He changes your idea. And to do. To will it and to do it. To will it to changes your wanter and changes your doer. Alright? I mean, God gets in there and He changes the whole thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But the natural man receives not the spirit of things of the Spirit of God. He's like, no. For they are foolishness to him. I'm not going to do that. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He himself is judged of no man. How many know you're judged of no man? The one that judges you is God. Now this is for somebody who's growing in the Lord. And not to let that part, that idea, because that's another idea, is that somebody's going to look at me and make a decision about me. No, you don't. You're not paying any attention to what anybody else is saying about you. Now, you have brothers and sisters who will encourage you and build you up, but somebody who is condemning you, somebody who's coming condemning your, and again, don't find out from the Holy Spirit, is that a condemnation or is that a word from the Lord to slow me down or to steer me or to, what is that? You know, you're going to begin to hear that. But judgment, condemnation, don't receive that. Don't receive condemnation. If something is coming, it's condemnation. That's not God. A lot of you live under that. Huh? It's condemnation. A lot of people live under condemnation. They live under you know, like, oh, you know. I mean, under real, I mean, pressure. And condemnation, and it's emotions. It's fear. It's being downcast. You know, these are all symptoms. These are all symptoms of the enemy coming in to destroy your walk with God or to slow you down. Huh? He's coming in to slow your walk down with things like fear, with things like despair, with things like you know, anger, you know, retribution, to get back at so-and-so, you know, for the thing that... See, the enemy just knows how to do all these things. And what you want to do is to know that I'm walking in peace, joy, thanksgiving, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, self-control. All of these things, that's when you know that you're walking with the Lord. The other ones coming up, you know, are the ones that came out of the flesh. Those are the things, back in Galatians, the ones that came out of the flesh. Those are the things that you know are coming against you and causing you to slow your walk with the Lord because you're now under condemnation and under a burden. But he that's spiritual, this is chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now let's look at chapter 3. So you have the mind of Christ. Now whether it always operates that way, that's another thing. But you have the mind of Christ. So have an expectation that the mind of Christ operates on the inside of you. Do you have an expectation? Yep, I do. because I know that He loves me and I know that He walks in me, lives in me. So, chapter 3 says, here's Paul again to the Corinthians, "And I, brethren..." So he's been describing the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And now he's going to talk about his observation. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual," which he just talked about, "but as to carnal." Well, there's the distinction. The carnal is spiritual versus carnal, spiritual versus flesh. So I can't speak to you like spiritual, as I've just described, but I have to talk to you as carnal, as fleshly. Even as to babies, in Christ. So you're in Christ. You just haven't been taught. You have no teaching. "Even as to babies in Christ," that is fleshly people, still fleshly, still this worldly minded. "For I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For before you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able to." You're still in the same condition. "For you are yet carnal," you're still carnal. "For whereas," determine that? "Because there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" The language there really depicts mere men. Are you not carnal? Because of the divisions and the envying and the strife among you. So divisions, envying, and strife. And it may be among the church. It may be among you and your personal relationships. Wherever envying and strife kind of crops up. I mean, you can have weeds anywhere, right? You know, weeds just crop up. You know, whether it happens to be on the church grounds or in your home or at your office. You know, they've all got landscaping out there at the office or the... or at the at your house, or maybe out here, you know, and the weeds begin to pop up and become evident, and they just kind of stick up higher than anything else. That's what people see first when you drive past a bad lawn. What do you see first? The weeds. "Hey, that's a great church. Look, oh my goodness, look at that." You know, people come in and find that out. "For you are yet carnal, and I know this, because there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men?" How powerful is that? You walk as mere men. So it's really an indictment that you guys haven't figured out that you have the wisdom of God that he talked about in chapter 2. You guys aren't walking in that. You're walking in your flesh mind, you're walking in your flesh wisdom rather than your spirit wisdom. And again, all of these things are there to say that if there is the evidences of these things, the problem is that you are walking in flesh wisdom. So, well, good. At least you know what the problem is, right? At least I know what the problem is. The problem is I'm walking in my head and not walking in the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not about condemnation. The living God is not into condemnation, but He's into forgiveness and deliverance. That's what Jesus is into. If you go read Hebrews chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11, Hebrews 8, 9, 10, and 11, you read the progression of how God took the church out of, and Israel, out of the sacrifice system, because it wasn't doing the job. It could not redeem you. And how He moved it into a better covenant with better promises. And now you have to get out of the old covenant because that was just to keep the thing going until Jesus came. That was just to keep the line of the Redeemer going until Jesus came. That's what the nation of Israel was all about. And now God loves Israel. God loves His people. God loves that nation because it's His nation. And we are the culmination of that nation. But the reason Israel was born was what? To be a what? Light to the all world. To the whole world. A light to the whole world. So He began with Israel. But it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Israel is not like they're on top and they're the people God really loves. No. God really loves you. They're not the people God really loves, you know. And you know, Israel's going to have a big mansion. You're going to have, you know, a Mac mansion, you know, with little ones on a postage stamp, you know. You have a big house, but just no land, you know, because you got in, you know, just because, you know, God was nice. No, you're the same. You're exactly the same. Anybody who walks in to the presence of God and receives the presence of God, then he is bringing to pass, God's bringing to pass these things in you, you know. God's looking for somebody just to believe him. Amen? I mean, when he's looking for Abraham, he's just looking for a guy. Oh, there's a guy. Okay, he'll believe me. You know, because he knows. He knows who's going to believe you. He could have picked anybody. Yeah? Couldn't he? Couldn't God have picked anybody? Maybe he could have picked Nahor or could have picked Tabor or, you know, he just liked Abram, you know. No, he could have picked anybody. He could have made Israel out of anybody. How am I going to make you the father of many nations? You know, right? No. It was Abraham. Yeah, once God picked him. Once God, people are going to hate me for that kind of talk, you know. But God, he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Why? Why was Abraham chosen? Because he believed God. And God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Okay, let's get back to this. You walk as mere men. I want to get back to that. Is that you haven't understood, had the understanding yet that you have actually been saved by a supernatural God. This, the bulk of the whole church, as it stands today, is a social gospel network. I don't mean television or computers. I mean, it's a social gospel group. It's about being good to one another and loving your neighbor. Well, that's not what the gospel is all about. That's just a result. A result of the gospel is loving your neighbor. But the purpose of the gospel is to save you to life eternal, isn't it? So you want to already be living in life eternal before you actually can do any good works. Amen? I'm living in life eternal. And if good works happen, that's just a fruit. That's just a fruit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is not for you. It's for everybody who you run into. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is so you are able to be a blessing and to give. And to, because you have everything. Isn't that true? I mean, that's how families work. I mean, you know, you have everything. So a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Why? Because he's got plenty. He's got more than enough. He doesn't have any more expenses. And so now he's got plenty to distribute. He's got plenty to distribute to his kids, his grandchildren, and the church and the world. He's got plenty to distribute. So you're not walking any longer as a mere man. Amen. Hallelujah. But you're walking as a spirit person, spirit man, spirit woman. You're walking as a spirit man. For one, now here's the example, of course, as the envying and strife is for verse 4. For one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. Everybody who believed, God had somebody told them about Jesus. I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? Can't hear you. God. There's one guy. Yeah. This is one guy on the front row. Move down to the second row. Move. You come up higher, brother. Who gave the increase? Thank you. Getting out of, you know, hearing's getting a little late. So then neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters anything, but God that gives the increase. So the only one that's anything is God who gives the increase. You know, it's funny because you don't know how things grow. You know, scientists don't even know how people grow. They don't know how life happens. They just kind of, wow. You know, and then they like to try to figure it out and think about it. But they don't know how. They don't know where life came from. Amen? God gives the increase because there's in there, I mean, who created the DNA thing? We find that, wow, look. Oh, look. You know, you get into microscope and you find out, wow, look at that. We got DNA and all that stuff. You know, you got, it's just, the smaller the universe gets, the bigger it is. What are you talking about? In other words, go to outer space, at least you know, you look out of this telescope. They said the Hubble telescope, they turned it on, and they just left one camera pointed out there for like 10 years. And what it takes is a long time for the light to show up. So the more time it spends just focused on that one spot, the more light comes in, and it begins to come into focus what's out there. And the picture that they ended up with when they first started was just dark. It was just dark with a couple of specks. But when they began to look at that thing later, all of a sudden there were thousands and thousands of galaxies in that one photograph, in that one direction. In other words, how phenomenally big is the universe that God has created? And we can kind of recognize that. We just look up the night sky, and we just know how big it is. You know, they had the thing that went 400, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, don't we go around? We go the long way around, though. We landed that satellite thing on a comet. It was 300 million miles away. Do you know how long that thing, you know how far that thing traveled to get there? 4 billion miles to make a 300 million mile trip. Man alive, we do things the hard way, don't we? Sound like Moses in the wilderness. Take an 8-day trip, take 40 years. That's us. That's the wisdom of man. Brilliant. No, but all of these things. We have the all of these things that God does. But we're talking about the phenomenal greatness and largeness of that DNA. We're just beginning to see how big the tiny universe is. I mean, you get, look at the DNA and the power of that creation that God created, which creates you and you and you and you and every one of you distinct. God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because God distinctively created you and had a plan for your individual combination of DNA from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly who Danny's great, 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 multiple. You wouldn't be Danny. It wouldn't be Craig. It wouldn't be Louise. If the combinations had not been already preset. Talk about a computer. Talk about making calculations. But you talk about how large you can go deeper and deeper and deeper into that DNA. And it's phenomenal how intricate the creation of God is. It's not a chance. It's not happenstance. You know, any scientist is worth anything. As the more they find out, the more they know they don't know. So God gave the increase. So neither is he that plants or he that waters anything. I mean, we're just, you know, planting and watering. Well, we don't know what we're doing. We just plant it and we water it. But the power of God gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together. So he's talking about Paul and Apollos and Peter and all these guys. We're just one guy, really. You know. For we are laborers together with God, and you are God's garden. You are God's building. According to the grace of God that was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and somebody else builds on it. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For no other foundation can any man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation. The only foundation for the church, for an individual, for life eternal, is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Well, it's kind of a distinction between those two groups, right? It's kind of a distinction between those two groups of supplies. You know, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, if, and he's going to talk about fire here in just a minute. We'll just jump ahead. If fire hits gold, silver, and precious stones, what happens? Purifies. Burns off the stuff. Burns off impurities. If fire hits wood, hay, and stubble, what happens? It's consumed. It's consumed. It's gone. So, somebody's building upon this foundation. So, Paul is laying a foundation, and somebody else comes and builds thereon. Some other... Now, what are we talking about? Divisions among people. Divisions in teachers. We're not talking about how you build. We're talking about how somebody builds on the foundation of you being God's garden or you being God's building. If any man would build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work, the man who built, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, again, we're talking about who? The builders onto the foundation. In other words, you have to have an you have to know that building on the foundation of God's people is very important to God. Whatever man builds on a foundation is very important to God. What a pastor or a man of God builds upon you is very important to God. Because He wants you to be built with chapter 2 in mind. Knowing that you are a spiritual being and knowing that the wisdom of men does not apply, but the wisdom of God. So if any man's, verse 14, if any man's work abide, survive, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work, again, any man who's building thereon, shall be burned, and he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Doesn't mean he wasn't a believer. Doesn't mean he wasn't a Christian. Yet, so his work, he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? Now he's talking to the Corinthians as he's discussing this issue. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man, back to the builder, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now he said you're going to be saved. The guy will be saved, but the ministry that he has had, that'll be destroyed. Let no man, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Now, what's happening here is you have teachers who mix up the wisdom. You have teachers here who mix it up. And, you know, the Scripture talks in several places about know those who labor among you. Do not be deceived. You have to seek the Holy Spirit to know who you're listening to. We don't have everything, but you also have to know that people who do have some things, you need to find out what they have. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit, not just to an individual. Because there are, again, there's divisions, you know, in the Scripture. In the body of Christ. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So if there's mixture, in what you're hearing, he's telling you in these first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, to be wise. Don't be carnal. Don't be just listening to anything. But grow up. Grow up. Get in the presence of God. Know the things that are freely given to you by God. Verse 19 again, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. What's the ultimate here? Let no man glory in men. Don't be Don't let your glory be, wow, this guy has got it. He's, you know. No, not about people. This is not about people. It's God who's giving the increase. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So it's not about people. It's about you. Again, as we talked about at the beginning, it's about you not walking as a mere man, but knowing that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and that the living God is in you. Has He given you teachers? Has He given you instructors in Christ? Yes, amen, He has. But you have to. You can't just wander around just following aimlessly. You have to know the Holy Spirit yourself. That's what the whole kingdom of heaven on the earth that God provided for you in Christ Jesus is, and delivered to you the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you so that you hear Him, so that you walk with Him. You do have teachers. They've been called and assigned to you to build you up, Ephesians chapter 4. You know, He's given gifts unto man. And He gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the building up of the saints, for the encouragement of the body of Christ. But again, those are not end-all gifts. Those are men. You remember when he talks about, over in Hebrews, talks about men who die. Here, men who die receive tithes. You know, and the priest had to go into the temple and have his sprinkle the blood on the altar, on the holy place, to even forgive his own sins. But Jesus, once for all. So therefore, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So, no divisions, no divisions among you with respect to teachers or gurus. Amen? Your only guru is Jesus. Amen? I only got one guru, Jesus. You know. I'm not saying don't read a book. I'm not saying don't listen to so-and-so, you know, teach. But just don't get wound up in people. Amen? And I'm just reading this out of the Bible. I'm just reading this out of 1 Corinthians. I'm reading what Paul wrote. Because there was an issue. And if there was an issue then, there's an issue now. That's why it's here. Otherwise, he would have taken that book out. But he didn't take that book out because it's still here. So you've got to have that understanding that you're going to follow the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God is given to you to walk with Him. He's given you the living God, the Holy Spirit, to teach you that you may know the things that are freely given to you by God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. Go back and read it again for your good word. Thank you, Lord, that we're not divided. Thank you that we're one. Thank you that we're one because we all have the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And Father, we thank you that there would be no division, no strife among us, that we would not walk carnally, but that we would walk as one, and that we would walk with love, joy, and peace among us, ministering to the world the name of Jesus, that they may be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the end of the world would come when every tribe and every tongue has heard the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.